It is the 11th of October 2018, the second day of Mar Cheshvan, Tavshin Ayin Tes. Oh, there we are. Okay. And we are up to Meforshim Day of Perek Dalet. Oh, wow. It's just become pouring outside. Okay. So here we go. So it discusses the issues of kas and the jobs of kas and the covering up of the very and the preparation for travel of the various kelim, the various vessels of the Beis Hamikdash. That's what we discussed yesterday. So the Ramban, right off the bat, discusses both of those topics. So in Ramban and Pasuk Vav, what does it say in Pasuk Vav? Venasnu alav kisui or tachash. They would put a torch or tachash on it. Upersu beged kalil tchelas mamala. Then there was a blue beged that was put on top of it. So you actually had three covers, as the Ramban points out. Rashi's Bavur, Maila Sa'aron, Lo Haya Nira Alav Kisui Or Tachash. They wouldn't even be able to see the covering of the Or Tachash. Aval Hayu Machsim Oso B'Parochas Shuha Masachla. Rather, they would cover it first with a Parochas. Parochas is described in Pasuk Hey. Right. Pasuk Hey, it says, V'horidu Es HaParochas HaMasach. They would take down the curtain, and they would cover the Aron with that. And then, Umachsim Es Shneyem B'Machs Or Tachash. Then they would put this tachash covering on top of Vorag Hashem because of the rain, and then Uporshim al Hakol Beged Kalil Techeles Mamala, and then on top of all of that was another covering, a covering that was Techeles Sheyenira Alav HaBeged HaNichbat Shuke Etzem Hashemayim L'Tor, so that they would be able to view this honorable Beged on top of it would look like heaven itself. And that was the image that they were trying to put. Aval shar kol akelim hashulchan v'amenor v'mizvechos haynir aleim amala mechisa mechase or tachash. So that's different. The Aron was different than the other ones. The other ones had a covering on top of the tachash, and this was distinct because it was blue. V'yeshomer, and some say ki etam akasev v'pershu beged kalil tachelas mamal l'parochas hamasach nasul aval aron haparochas kisui or tachash v'tam v'shamo bediav al ketefos hakohanim. Right, and some explain that they would place the we talked about this a little bit already yesterday. They would take the poles of the Aron, and they would, it sounds like from the pasuk v'shabu badav, they would put the poles in. So what does it mean that they would put the poles in? So the Ramban says on the shoulders of the Kohanim. That's where they would put the poles. That's what it's talking about. Not talking about the poles into the Aron, rather the poles being put on top of the shoulders of the Kohan. Va'nachun ki v'shamo sheyiknu v'sam v'yosiyotzim l'seisu sobehem k'ayu hatavos v'chavim v'yarichu abadim behem k'tsunamu v'ashal yesu v'menu, that the poles were placed in there in a specific way so that they wouldn't be able to be moved. It was impossible for them to move it. So the only, when it talks about placing the poles, the only thing we'll be talking about is placing the poles on the shoulders of the Kohanim. Now, that is distinct. A little, so that we pointed out yesterday that is a little bit of a machlokas on that. The Sferno says, no, the Sferno doesn't talk about it, but the Rashbam. Well, the Rashbam did talk about it, but where's. Okay, but the Ibn Ezra for sure talks about the rush. But the Ibn Ezra says v'shamo b'dio hinei yisirum achi chasu aron. They would remove it until it covered the aron. That's the Ibn Ezra's pshat. The Ibn Ezra's pshat is no. They would remove the poles, but only for the purpose of getting the cover on. And apparently, that wouldn't be a violation of the prohibition of removing the poles. V'yishom some explain v'shamo b'dio v'akipachos. Put it on the shoulders of the carriers. Now, the Ibn Ezra said it a little differently in terms of. So pshat number one is they would. And that the Ibn Ezra has is they would remove the poles, cover it up, wrap it all nice, and then they would put the poles back in. Pshat one. Pshat, even though that sounds like it's in violation of the prohibition of removing the poles, apparently it's not, because that's the command of the Torah. The Torah is when you're preparing to move, so you should cover it this particular way. The other pshat that that he has is that no, they're placing it on the shoulders of whom? Whose shoulders were they placing it on? Levites, and you said? Kohanim. Uh-oh. What? Kohanim are not the same as Levim. Who carried the Aron? Who carried the Aron? So think about our Parsha here.
Korach
was a carrier of it, okay. Think about our Parsha here. Who does it describe carrying the Aron? Who's carrying the Aron according to what we're learning right now? Kahat. Who's Kahat? Levi. Right? So who carried the Aron? Levim. Right? What does Ibn Ezra say? He put it on the shoulders of those that are carrying it. Okay, so who are carrying it? The Levim. What did the Ramban say, though? The Ramban says they would place the poles al ketefos hakohanim. They would place it on the shoulders of the Kohanim. Oh, what's he getting that from? So, very good. So there is a big machlokas out there as to who actually was commanded to carry the Aron. There is a mitzvah of carrying the Aron. Who is commanded, Kohanim or Levian? So it actually lines up as a machlokas Rambam and Ramban, but it's not this way. It actually has, the Ramban is actually on the other side of the machlokas. The Ramban says that, let's start like this. The Rambam's perspective is that Kohanim were the ones who carried the Aron. In fact, there is an allusion to that in Kinos. Then Kinos talks about the different families of the Kohanim. Right? It's actually one of the longer Kinos. So it goes to the name, but it is on the list that we do in Batha Medrash. It goes to the list of the family names of the Kohanim. And one of them it mentions as the Nosei Aron, those that carried the Aron, indicating that it was Kohanim that carried the Aron. Now, is it true? So the Rambam says, yes, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Lamed Dalet, I believe, says that the mitzvah of carrying the Aron is that a Kohen should be the one that is going to carry the Aron. What does he do with this pasuk in Bamidbar? So he says, yeah, it's true when it was first commanded the Levim were the ones who were carrying it. So in the Midbar, the Levim carried it. Why would that be? Because there weren't enough Kohanim. There's only three Kohanim, right? How are they going to be able to carry the Aron? It's not possible. So that was a Horas. But the actual mitzvah of carrying the Aron was accomplished by Kohanim. And in fact, in Sefer Yehoshua, when it describes the Aron being carried in front of the people, the Aron by Yericho, it talks about the Aron, everybody following the Aron around around the town, it talks about the Kohanim were the ones who carried the Aron. So once they already had a population, enough of a population, so it transferred over from being something that was carried by the Kohanim to something from the Levim to something that was carried by the Kohanim. The Ramban, however, disagrees. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in his commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos, so he there says that the Rambam lists this as a mitzvah, and he's wrong. It's not true that the Kohanim were the ones who were carrying it. The Levim were the ones that were supposed to be carrying it. It doesn't Yeshua that the Kohanim carried it. Says the Ramban, big deal. That was a Horas Shah. That was a particular event where they were told that the Kohanim should be the ones that are going to carry the Aron, but not necessarily the rule. Now, the Ramban says, however, they did back off a little bit, right? It used to be Levim, and then it actually did turn to Kohanim during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, they weren't just like, well, doesn't really make sense that they were carrying the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, but there was what I had something about the second Beis HaMikdash.
Did they have the?
No, they didn't have it.
They
right?
Didn't have the Ark. They didn't.
Right, but it refers to in Divrei Hayamim as the Levim, the Nosei Aron, the Levim that the ones who would carry the Aron. But it could also be that neither one would hold that it's ma'akif, meaning which one gets it. So the Ramban would say the Levim are the ones, they're the ones who have the mitzvah, the Kohanim in theory can carry it, and the other way around, that if you hold like the Rambam, that Kohanim should be the one that are carrying it. So yeah, that might not be ma'akif, though. It could be that Levim were permitted to. There were a bunch of things that during the time, not this, because they didn't have the Aron during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, but there were several things that used to be in the domain of Levim that got pushed into the domain of Kohanim during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, because Ezra and Nehemiah were really annoyed that Levim, that not enough Levim came back to resettle Eretz Yisrael for the second temple. So therefore, there are some of the privileges that in theory go to Levim. He loosened the reins and said, no, you don't have to give it just to Levim, you can give it to Kohanim as well. Like Meiser, I believe. I think Meiser was said that you don't have to give it to Levim, you can give it to Levim or Kohanim going forward. I forget what the details of that are. It's found in the Gemara in Yevamos. Yeah.
Korach is a brother of Amram.
Korach, I believe, was a nephew.
No, not Korach. Kohat.
Kahat. No, Kahat was the father of Amram. Those are the three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kahat, and Merari. And Amram was a son of Kahat.
It was
a son. I think a son.
Well, wait, Korach's father?
Who was Korach's father?
Korach's father was not Kahas. It was one of Amram's brothers.
I think they claimed he was from God. I'm going to check this out.
What?
I don't know. I thought he was.
No, he was from Kahas. He was one of the people that were the Nosi Aron that would carry the Aron.
Yeah.
Right, but his father Gersh. But right, what do we say? Vaykach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi. Okay, so he was the son of Yitzhar, who was, I believe, Amram's brother.
Yeah.
So he was Moshe's first cousin.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Good. All right, so what else do we got here? So in Pasuk Zayin, it then talks about the Shulchan. That the Shulchan, Hapanim, Yifreshu, Beget, Rechez, they put a blue garment on it, and then they would put the Karos, and the Kapos, and the Manikos, and the Kashos, and Anesach, V'lechem, Atamid, Alavhi, and there was always Lechem on it. So how did this look exactly? So says the Ramban, Al Shulchan Atzmo, Yeh, Lechem, that the Shulchan itself had the bread on it, like always, V'lechem, Beget, Rechez, and on top of that was the Techeles garment. V'yasimu, Al HaBeget, Hazeh, Shulchan Kol Hakim. Then they would place on top of that beged all of these vessels. Where did they place all these vessels? I don't really know. But all the vessels were placed. And then they would put this red garment on top of that. Why a red garment? Why the Tolas Shani? What does that represent? So suggests the Ramban, Ki l'chavur ha-lechem shehu mesudar kehil chaso, yifreshu beged chelis, that in honor of the lechem, which was mesudar according to the way the halacha. So Hashem said that the bread should be in the following way. So therefore it gets covered by techelis. In order to separate from the shulchan and the lechem, which is always supposed to be there, from the kelim, from the vessels that were there. So, but then they would put a top cover on it, the beged tolas hasheni, a red garment. Why? Shumar edom. Why? Bavur shashulchan simon lekeser malchus shehu midas adin. Because the Shulchan is a representative of the Midas HaMalchus, or the Midas HaDin, the characteristic of kingship, the characteristic of judgment. But the Aron and the Mizbeach, they were covered in the blue garment to tell you that that includes everything. Mizbeach HaOla BeBeged Argamon, the Mizbeach got a Argamon cover. Got an Argamon cover, Shu Edom Yosem Yerish, which was more red than the first one, Kisham Yizrak Hadam Kofer Nafshim, because that's where the red blood was thrown. So you had different, so the Kalim here were color coded, right? The Aron was carrying, was in blue. The Mizbeach, apparently, even though they were covered on top by Tachash, I guess you could see it from the side, the Shulchan was used red. The menorah and the Mizbeach HaZahav had blue covers, right? They represent more ruchnius dimensions. And then you had the outer Mizbeach, which was covered in a deeper red, because that's where all the kapara was taking place. Okay? So that is the color coding Mishkan travel formation.
Really cool.
Glad you appreciate it. Okay, so go on a little bit.
How much can I get the energy?
What?
Color is connected to energy.
Uh huh.
So the energy is even.
Ah, yeah. Like colors are also connected to the rainbow.
Yeah.
And
emotional
part. Okay, so the pasuk tells us in pasuk Tes Zayin, verse 16, Ufakudas Elazar ben Aaron Hakohen, the count or the job of Elazar ben Aaron Hakohen, Shemanamor Victorus Asmiru Mincha Tamid Veshemanam Mishka, Ufakudas Kol Mishka Mechol Shevehem Kol Shevchilah. Right, he was in charge of these things, of the oil and the ketores and all the things that were those types of ingredients. So says the Ramban, Yomer Shu Pekira Kol Elu Veshiru Pekudas Kol Hamishka. Pekudas Kol Asherbo, that he was in charge of the Mishkan and in charge of what was in it. V'amar Rabbi Avram, Ki Pirusha Sheishlo Pekidos Sham B'Mishkan V'Chol Kelav Im Itmar Achiv. Suggests the he quotes from the Ibn Ezra that yeah, he was in charge, but he was in charge with his brother. That him and Itamar were the ones that were in charge, right? Rak, but so why is Elazar the one that gets mentioned though? He says Rak Legodel Milas Elazar Hayahu Pekid Al Hashemen V'Al HaKetores Levado. But the greatness of Elazar is that he was in charge of the oil and the Ketores. So he had the oil and the Ketores under his explicit command. And the other things, while the pasuk seems to say that it was Eliezer's job, was really a joint job of Eliezer and Itamar. So both of those, that is all the opinion of the Ibn Ezra, and comes to Ramban Ramban and adds two words to that, and he says Beinu Nachum. He is not. He's not correct. Because the pasuk tells us. Biyadi Tamar uperish bekan bekodesh v'chilav. Right, the chein amar lemaylev, and the pasuk seems to be more explicit about who it is. It talks about Itamar when Itamar is in charge. It talks about Eliezer when Eliezer is in charge. Eliezer when Eliezer is in charge. Vine, he continues on. Eliezer amrachel al shloshes hanisim. Eliezer was also in charge of the three nisim. The gizbar lemishmeres bnei kahath, and he was also in charge of watching the jobs of the kahatites. Right, the itmar gizbar legershon amar, and he was also the gizbar. He was also the like man in charge for gershon amarari as well. So he had significant jobs. Right. Okay, so that is the story there. Another idea here, right, in Pasuk Yud Ches, Al Tachrisu Es Shevas Mishpachos HaKasi, that you should not cause the Mishpachos HaKasi to get destroyed. Mitoch HaLeviim. So how would that possibly take place? So the Svarno here mentions a famous Gemara here. He says, "Al tanichu es hamasaus ba'ofen sheyiska b'hem kol ha'golim." He says, "Kahas," it means being in charge, means being organized, and not just saying whoever gets there first is going to get whatever they want. Why? Ki b'zeh ofen, in this way of everyone getting there first, yikra sheyidchafu ze et ze v'chalu es hakodesh. That if you just do that, if you just allow whoever comes first is going to win, he says, so people are going to push each other, and eventually, they will push each other, and you'll be machalo the kodesh. It will cause a chil Hashem. And that's why they would have karis. So the karis is not from what if you're not in charge, people are going to get closer. They're going to touch what they're not supposed to touch. They're going to do what they're not supposed to do. Says the Sforno, no, it's more than that. If they're not organized and they push each other and they get into trouble with one another, that's going to cause a chil Hashem. That's not an appropriate action, and we saw that takes place. That happened with the Trumas Hadeshin. What's that talking about? What's the story of that? What happened to the Trumas Hadeshin? So Trumas Hadeshin is the first order of the morning. The first thing they do in the morning, they would take some ashes off of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara tells us that it used to be whoever gets the top of the Mizbeach wins the race, gets to go ahead and do the Avoda. And one time, two guys were running up, and it was neck and neck, and one guy shoved the other one off the ramp of the Mizbeach and broke his neck. Right, and the guy was actually, there's more to that Gemara than just that. That the guy was writhing in pain on the floor and was about to die. And his father said, "He says, oh, he's still alive. Then, like, quick, get him, you know, get the kalim out of his hand so that he won't be mitame then."
That's pretty gross.
Don't say my name in vain, please.
No, I'm sorry. No, it's like one of those things they
want to say.
See, you got those
old. Right, so the Sforno is bringing that as an example here. It's not just about, oh, someone's going to touch something, somebody's going to go someplace where they're not supposed to be. Rather, it's more than that, it will cause a chil Hashem. That would be problematic for the other people as well.
Right. Because people say that these guys are coming.
Okay.
I have a question right with me.
Yes.
Yes, Elazar was the head of the spices and the oil.
Eliezer was in charge of the spices and oil, yes.
The spices, they usually put the spices, did they put them in the fire or they need to stay wet? All the spices were always put in fires, right? They or not?
Well, they were kept in jars.
But did they usually...
Buckets, barrels.
No, but did they usually burn the spices in them?
They eventually would be burnt, yeah.
Yeah,
the spices
so,
is burnt.
No, they were all, I mean, that's what they were using, it was burning. No, I'm just saying the oil's for fire and the spices are on fire. Just
thought
there's some connection. There's some sort of like connection. Right.
All right. So, anyways, so it continues the Ramban on the last passage. Voliavo liros kavolas hakoshemis, that people won't see that they have violated the kodesh and that they will die. So comes the Ramban and says keshemach nisin esakli l'tovali. He's quoting Rashi here that they will put the kalim within their cover, as we explained above. Upershulav beged ploni v'chisu usov machz ploni. They were covered with a certain type of cover. Uvalua shelo zehu kisuyav, and that was their covering, and that's what Rashi says that means. Comes the Ramban and says who daitu shalunklas, also job funklas. Rabu seinu amru b'mesechas sanhedrin shezuas hara al hagonev klisharis shechayev misa. This actually is the proof that somebody who steals a klisharis from the base of Migdash is chayev misa. Kenayim pogimbo. What does that mean? Kenayim pogimbo. Kenayim, who are Kenayim? A Kenai is a
person.
Zealot. A zealot can take him out. And this is the Kanaim Pogmo is actually the same language that is used by for Pinchas. That by Pinchas, that if you see people involved in that type of activity that Pinchas saw, so Kanaim Pogmo, one could be a zealot and one can kill them on the spot. So not that they are Chayiv Misa otherwise, it seems, but right, it wouldn't be a death penalty if you get caught doing this, but a person is caught in the action of doing it, so then they could be killed in order to keep them from doing it. And this is the place Pasuk is the source for that. Right? Shehaganeva Vahagezel Yikr. Belia, right? Stealing is referred to is this language of Belia. Relation Chayal Bala by Yekianu. Otsesi es below. Below the stolen objects from their mouth. So we see that is what is referenced to. And then the Rabban adds in one more thought here. He says, "Vine halaviyim musharim shelo yigo es aron hakodesh shemesu rak bevadim yisuhu." That the Leviim were commanded that they should not touch the Aron HaKodesh and lest they die. Rather, they should just pick it up by its pulse. You shouldn't see the building as Aron is taking down the Parochas. Meaning, look away, nothing to see here, until everything is packed up by the Kohanim, and then it'll be ready for you to pick up. And that's correct. Right? Right? Aval Aldas Emes becomes the Rabban and says, Avaldas Emes Tam Hakasuv, Ki Bavur Heyos Kavod Yoshiv Hakruvim, Sham Huzru Alavim Shalya Harsu Leros Sashem, Ashiridu Akohanim Esaparuches. That the Shechina was there between the Kruvim. They're commanded that they shouldn't take a look until the Kohanim have removed the Paroches. Ki As Tira Hakavod Bechivayim. And then they will see the power Bechivayim. What does Bechivayim mean? In hiding its power. And then they will it will go back to its place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim eventually, and that's when they will could cause problems for the Kodesh. So the Ramban here, it seems to be saying something odd, that the honor, the Hashem, so to speak, is between the Kruvim, invisible to all, until it's not. Until it needs to travel, in which case the Shekhinah then becomes sort of smaller, right? It becomes hidden there. And that's what while it took up more space, now it takes up less space. And that is, which is an interesting, perspective. He seems to, and he adds, conclude by saying, Vamaskil Yavin, that those that are the Kabbalists, they know what I'm talking about, right? It's not so clear, what he is talking about. But that is, but the idea, I think what he's saying is that there is a Kedusha when Hashem fills the room, and when the Shekhinah fills the room, and it is also, there's also Kedusha when Hashem is more secluded, perhaps quieter, goes through a process of Tzimtzum, and closes the, and Hashem's presence becomes even less pronounced.
The Ramban.
This is the Ramban, yes. No. This is the Ramban.
Isn't he sort of the first commentary mentions Kabbalah overtly? The earliest commentator.
Is he the first?
No, earliest.
Earliest? I don't know.
That's what I thought. He's like.
I mean, it could be. Yeah. I'm not denying it.
No, there you go.